The 541st edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And next, we're brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, AVO. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access to their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. And finally, in honors of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade Spyder X putter for free. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Howdy ho, degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 541. It's being dedicated to our friend of the podcast, Stephen Asplund, Gumby, I haven't had a chance to watch his fight yet. Gumby will tell you all about his fight. He had an LFA. It was quite a humdinger of a fight. Let me tell you, a slobber knocker. So we'll break that down, but he is our friend on Twitter and in life in general, because Gumby called him fat and he took offense to that because he used to be 500 pounds and now he is not. So this goes out to our
dude
friend.
Lost 250 pounds.
Yep. He's a champion in life for doing that for sure. So this goes out and he's a fun guy to begin with. So Stephen Asplund, this goes out to you, even though you don't fight in CFFC. So this is a CFFC episode. We have not covered CFFC. We've covered it once since we've gone to the YouTube era of the podcast. We covered it a bit more in the olden days as well. So they have a fight card coming down this weekend that is just packed with title fights. So we're going to get that into your ear holes now. And this is an eye holes. This is hopefully a fight card. We don't have odds yet, but hopefully we'll have some juicy lines for you. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. I'll be the one setting up the stage, throwing the alley. The person who will be ooping it down with the winning picks will be my co-host. If you're on YouTube, you see him, the guy right beside me shaking his head. Now he's pointing at you. His name's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to Stephen Asplund. That fight was ridiculously entertaining. The guy he was fighting, I don't think could have been knocked out. He floored him. He floored him twice. And it was an absolute brawl. Looked really good. And then he told us he was going to pour a beer in our honor afterwards. So yes. That's, what's cooler than that, than a fighter telling you that they're going to do that afterwards. So shout out to him. Let's get him an LFA title shot sometime in the near future. I'm here for it. And then as far as the CFLC title fights we're going to talk about in today's episode, I do have to let you know, because I know you do this every single time. So I'm going to lead you down this path right now.
Why are they interim? Why are they vacant?
There are two interim title fights on this card, yeah. Right? And I don't know what happened to the guys fighting him. In fact, in one of them, the fighter in question, who is not fighting this weekend, defending his title, did fight for Fury FC Grappling last Thursday.
Oh, interesting.
So like 10 days before was on Fury Grappling, which yeah. I guess maybe the answer then is he signed with Fury FC.
Yeah.
And isn't going to be fighting for Caged Fury FC anymore, which is confusing, especially because they're from roughly the same place in the world sometimes. Although CFFC is more like Atlantic coast, right? And Fury tends to be down in Texas, but like sometimes they kind of move close to each other. But anyway, like, I have no idea why this isn't happening that way. I don't have the answers for any of them. I can tell you who the champs are in those divisions. I'll be prepared with that information when you come for it, but I can't tell you why it's interim.
If you are asking, it's almost golf season, I need a putter. I know where you can get a putter. I have an answer for that. And if you're on YouTube, you can see it on your screen right now. We're giving away a free putter. In honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade Spyder X putter. You enter for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. And if you hear this in time, and you are in the San Diego area, the bosses, the hosts of the flagship, Sean and Ryan, are going to a special Circus Sports watch party starting Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. at Swing Social. Free drinks for anyone wearing Cubs or Padres gear. Grab a cocktail and say what's up to the boys and tell them how great Jeff and Gumby are doing on their show. CFFC. Have we overall thoughts on CFFC? Pretty solid promotion, probably like a step below LFA and those, but a pretty good feeder league, right?
Yeah, it's almost like I would say as far as the feeder leagues go, it's kind of like CFFC, Fury, LFA. And not like big steps between any of them, but like that's kind of where I rank them. Is it's kind of just like this is a touch below Fury and Fury is a touch below LFA.
Yep. Odds. We usually get odds for these at all the sports books, just the bet on the lines of the world. Where do we get them?
So with the bigger sports books, it usually depends on whether or not there's a big UFC this weekend and they're taking a lot of action there. Yep. There's a big UFC this weekend. So you probably won't see it on the bigger sports books, but if you got a couple of offshores that you use or something like that, they make themselves available in those places.
And doesn't Bet Online have everything anyway? So
yeah, I was gonna say that name. I mean, you know, we're not sponsored by.
We're not sponsored by.
They're the regional MMA king. So yeah, just like, you know, like they can toot their horn for a second there.
We should be sponsored by them if we're gonna talk about them. All right, so let's just CFFC 131. So they have been around for quite a while. Fernandez versus Dick. I take it is not Dicky, or is it Dicky?
I don't actually know.
Dick or Dicky.
I know on in the Tapology forums, like if you go to look at the comments made in Tapology, it's censored. Like they don't let you. So like his name disappears, or at least part of it does.
He's got some crazy. He's got a eye tattooed in the middle of his chest.
He does. Yep.
Dicky. All right. This is CFFC 131. Like I said, it's going down on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, Atlantic City, New Jersey at the Hard Rock. And it's on UFC Fight Pass for everyone not in that area, which is a bonus here. 13 fights. We're going to Gumby has picked the five that are of most interest to him. We'll give you full breakdowns on those. And then end of the show, hang around for our new lightning round where Gumby will zip through some of the other fights and let you know thoughts on them, thoughts on fighters that are in the fights, that type of thing. No odds, like I said, for any of these fights. So Gumby will also give you thoughts on what the odds should land, what range he would bet the fights in, all that type of stuff. So sometimes he is surprised by the odds, which can make up a profitable enterprise if that happens. So let's kick things off with one of the rare non-title fights on the card. This one is the main card fight at bantamweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Mark Gray versus Wilson Negroni.
Yeah, we've tried this a lot of times. The NDR blend is not an easy one.
Yeah.
Nedrejoni. Nedrejoni.
He's from Albania. Yeah. He's the Albanian. Don't we have an Albanian in our we must have an Albanian in our Discord that can tell us how to say that properly, right?
No, I think Armenian.
Oh, Armenian, right? Not Albanians, that's right. Anyhow, this Albanian gentleman, Nedrejoni. The strong
Wilson,
eagle.
Wilson.
Neil Wilson. Does CM Punk know how to say his name properly? Does CM probably, Punk does probably. He not do
he's betting. No, he still does. Him and John Morgan still do a lot of them.
Yeah. For CF, because I see it. There's a picture of him interviewing this gentleman right now. So there you go. The strong eagle. All right. The strong eagle is how come I see him with the CFFC championship belt?
Yeah, he was for a little bit. Yeah. He's been
I missed that, I think. Now, was he a champ or was he just an amateur champ for them? No, he must have been a real champ. Anyhow,
I think he was a real champ. I'll put the intern on it.
Okay, I think he must be if he has belt. Anyhow, he's the strong eagle, 8-3, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted twice, 5-1 in CFFC, a former champ, we believe. He's won 3 straight fights in four of his last 6. 2 straight wins have come via TKO. He's fight at featherweight and lightweight, was regional champion and inch a fight over Gray. Gray, 6-0 with 2 knockouts, 4-0 in CFFC. Used to fight at lightweight, and he's a year younger than the strong eagle. And that's all I got.
Yeah, he was the bantamweight champ. He beat Ashik Ajim. Okay.
Nice.
And then, to my knowledge, he still could be that. No, seems like he's not. Did he leave the promotion? Because he beat Ashik Ajim to win the bantamweight title. He won his next fight, which by the looks of it was not a bantamweight title fight, which that's, I don't know what to do with that. Anyway, So, you know, when I break down these fights and look for odds, sometimes I ask some of the people I know in the bookmaking world what they think of it too. And most everybody thought that I talked to thought that Mark Gray was going to come in here as a favorite. I think probably because of his record. I had mentally thought that Vilsen would come in as a favorite because he's been with CFFC longer and he's fought like high level guys in that time. You know, I just mentioned he knocked out Ashiq Ejim, who is on Contender Series. Like, I think Vilsen should be a favorite here. I would probably play him up into the negative 200s. But with the other side saying that they think Gray is going to be the favorite, I'm going to just say pick him here. But the reason I like Vilsen for the record, too, is that Gray has a lot of trouble early in his fights finding the range. And it's twofold. Sometimes it's that he's too far out and he just keeps coming up short with his strikes. Sometimes it's too far in and he's like not getting any extension on his strikes, which leaves you open for two things. Number one is it leaves you open for takedowns because you're moving too far in and sometimes they can duck under. And Vilsen's a legitimate wrestler. And then the other thing it leaves you open for is big counters, which is the other thing that Vilsen does really well. Like he puts combinations together real well, but I think the thing that is the most impressive about him is getting out of range and countering. One of his more recent knockouts came that way. Actually, I think it was the Arroyo fight. He jumped out of range and hit him with a left hand counter. So I think Vilsen has all of the abilities here to just spark Mark Gray. If Gray does decide to wrestle, because he does like to wrestle a little bit too, I think Vilsen's got the takedown defense to deal with it. Man, I think he's better in a lot of different ways. Like I said, I'd be interested in him all the way up into like the negative 200 range. So if he's anywhere near a pick'em here, I think he's definitely the play.
Fantastic. Like that starting off the picks for us. All right, nothing but title fights for the rest of the way here until we hit the lightning round. We're doing Cage Fury FC Heavyweight Championship. Don't they know if it's heavyweight, it has to be at the very top of the card? That's the way it always goes, right?
I don't think so.
We got Greg Velasco versus Billy Schoenfelder. 5 5-minute rounds, 265. The challenger, Schoenfelder, berserk, is 4-0, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. So he's finished everyone. This is his debut in CFFC. He's went 2-0 in Bellator, 2-0 in LFA. So he's fought it high in high promotions already. 4 years younger than Velasco, 1 inch of height on him, 6 inches of reach. So quite a bit of reach there. All right, the defending champ, the Viking King, is 6-1 with 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. That'll be Velasco. He's been submitted one time. He's gone 6-0 on CFFC. He got submitted in his last fight, which was on Contender Series. Who did you get submitted by, Gumby?
Shimon Gadziev.
Yep, no shame there. Actually is the current champion of CFFC. Based on their last weigh-ins, 45 pounds heavier than Schoenfelder, who basically is a
light heavyweight.
He's a light heavyweight, weight cut away from being a light heavyweight. So that is all I got.
This was another one like the Negrojoni fight, where I was like, Velasco's got to be a big favorite, right? And I would imagine a substantial favorite because he was just on Contender Series. He's the reigning champion. He's been in CFFC longer. And I heard some chatter that people were in on Schoenfelder, both the undefeated record and the fact that, you know, he's gotten some kind of, you know, he's fought for some big promotions, might have him come in. So again, I don't know what to do when people say that. So I usually just say pick him, give me negative 115 on either side. And with that being said, I think Velasco should be a massive favorite here. And what I've seen of Schoenfelder, that dude is just begging to be taken down all the time. And I had, you know, when Velasco got asked to be on Contender Series, I was like, it's not his time yet because he's not well-rounded yet. He's both a short heavyweight and like doesn't really have the best boxing skills in the world. So when you don't have a really great boxing skills and you're already kind of on the smaller side, like what is your ceiling as a heavyweight? I just didn't think he was ready to be on Contender Series at that time. I still don't think he was. Despite all that, the one thing you can say about him is he can wrestle. You know, like he can get in on your legs. I believe he was a collegiate wrestler. He's got good sub skills, surprisingly, like Kimuras and Americanas and stuff like that. Like he's got all the real deal. And Schoenfelder is just kind of like a stiff-legged, slow heavyweight who I think is being ready to be taken down. So I wish the analysis was more in-depth than this. I wish I could tell you something about how, like, this is going to work on the feed or how Velasco's got an overhand right that's going to land or something like that. But, like, the bottom line is I think he's just going to shoot a takedown 30 seconds in, and I don't think it's going to matter after that.
We want a sloppy fatties over. That's all we're looking for with our heavyweight fights. Gumby, you're not giving it to us?
I don't think you're going to get it here. I think no. If you're going to look for a prop or something like that, like the Velasco early sub, I think he's going to submit him here.
All right. There you go. Before we move on, I got to tell you about our friends at Cut. I don't have to, but I want to. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. You can bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut in as a payment side of things so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Check out Cut for all our custom SGPN bets up there by downloading Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN to get 10% deposit bonus. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. It's basically a pick'em game. Pick between 2 and 5 players in any sport you want. Pick higher or lower on the various stats that are listed there. If you hit enough, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. If you need help, check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We have a whole bunch of Underdog articles up there every day in various sports. Gumby and I are handling NBA currently. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. More title fights. Shucks. Hey, this is gonna be a long night if all these go to decisions. CFFC interim featherweight championship. Gumby already explained that he doesn't get why. Or I'm gonna ask anyway. Why is this one an interim, Gumby?
I don't know. Jose Perez just grappled for Fury. Fury grappling on Thursday.
He's the one. So, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why he's not just defending his title against one of these chaps.
The chaps would be Anthony
Dileme.
Frank Wells, both from the United States, 5 5-minute rounds. Wells, Chopper, it's a nickname. It's 5-1 with 2 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 5-3 all in CFFC. So all of his fights have been in the promotion. All his pro fights, he's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He's fed a lightweight. 0-1 is pro grappler. 1-0 is a puro Muay Thai fighter. 4-inch title in Dileme. Why am I having trouble with Dileme? I am, though. Dileme is 5-0 with 2 knockouts, 4-0 in CFFC. He's fight at lightweight, 2 years younger than Wells. Don't have a heck of a lot of stuff on him, but I'm sure Gumby knows plenty.
So I think Dileme is going to come in here at like -250. I think he's the rightful favorite here. I think you're also going to see title fight Frank Wells, 5-3 record. People are going to be like, fade that right away. So even if Dileme comes in a little bit less of a favorite than that, he'll get that up to a -250, -300 range. I'm still going to pick him here. I think he's got some real issues in terms of his game. The biggest one for me is his kind of like unwillingness to engage on the feet. It's clear he just wants some takedowns and wants to get his grappling game going, which for a lot of these regional titles, you need to be better than that. But he's sort of gotten here with mostly just that, because anytime he's on the feet, like just feints will back him right up to the cage. You know, like I think if you get the right kind of fighter who comes in just like aggressive and unwilling to take a step backwards and just putting him on the back foot, I think he'd keep backing up until he was against the fence. And then I think his wrestling game would be almost non-existent. I think that's such a clear path to victory here that Frank Wells just won't and can't follow. Because like, bottom line is he kind of wants the same thing and doesn't have really good distance management, not particularly aggressive on the feet. Like I think Dileme has ways. There are ways to beat Dileme. There are really simple, really obvious ways to beat Dileme. And Frank Wells is just going to be the type of guy who plays right into the hand of Dileme. He's going to let him wrestle. He's going to bring that grappling game. And if not, he's going to let Dileme move forward without worrying about getting hit too much. So I'm going to go with Dileme here, probably a pretty sizable favorite.
All right, there you go. Dileme is the pick here. What range would you bet him in, though? Or have you said that and I missed it?
I mean, I'd like him kind of in the lower 200s, to be honest. Like, if he gets up in the -300s, like, to the point I made at the beginning, you don't want a guy with, like, a clear path to lose this fight, or a clear path to lose any fight for that matter, and you want to bet him at 3-1. You know, like, that's not really for me, right? If I think anybody who backs him up is going to have an easy enough time against him, I don't want to bet him at negative 300. If he gets down into the negative 200s or negative 100s and I'm wrong and this Frank Wells 5-3 record doesn't just blow up the other side of the line, sure, maybe there. Otherwise, it's probably just a pass spot for me.
Okay. Fair enough. More title fights. Co-main event. Excuse me. Cage, Fury, FC, interim lightweight championship. Gumby. Why is this an interim title?
This one, I think Robert Whatley is hurt, if I'm not mistaken. But to my knowledge, he's still in the organization.
All right. That is good enough. Your knowledge is good enough for us. This is 500 rounds, lightweight, so 155. Robert Verschio, USA. Marquez Forrest, USA. Don't have much about Forrest. Hopefully Gumby can fill in the blanks here. Forrest, Black Clover is the nickname. 4-0, two knockouts, one submission. That is all I got for him. Verschio, ruthless. He's ruthless. He's 5-0 with five knockouts. 3-0 in CFFC, 2 years younger than Forrest. So I don't have a whole lot of background info on these guys, but I'm sure Dan knows because Dan knows.
So Forrest is a relentless grappler. He's a guy who just gets after takedown after takedown after takedown after takedown. He's actually got a pretty good submission game to go along with it, as you can kind of see from the record. But the big piece for me here is I think Verschio has just got way better tools on the feet. It's both the way that he lets go of combinations, particularly if he hurts you. Like the way he swarms when he hurts somebody is really impressive. And he picks his shots and is super accurate doing it. When he's confidently moving forward, he is an absolute prospect. That's what he is. He's a prospect. And the best part about the fact that he just needs like a little bit of that confidence to let go is his footwork actually leads him to a lot of that confidence, because he does an excellent job of cutting off the cage and not chasing his opponent around. And against a guy who really wants to be a relentless wrestler, being able to cut off angles and force him to fight in places he doesn't want to fight is like the best thing in the world. You know, it's what I said Frank Wells should be able to do with Dileme in that last fight, and I just don't think he'll be able to. I think Verschio can push people into that even when that's not their weakness. That's how good his footwork is. And then, like I said, I think his hands are way better than Forrest here. I think Forrest has like a wrestling advantage, but I've also seen Verschio not so much defensively wrestle. I've seen him offensively wrestle once in a while, and it's good. And I want to say that gives me enough hope that his defensive wrestling here is good enough, but I'll be honest, I haven't seen enough of his defensive wrestling to be like thrilled about him. But the striking is clearly head and shoulders better than Forrest. So I'm going to say Verschio comes in here like negative 175 as a favorite, because Forrest does have like some pretty clear skills, but Verschio is the guy who's like shown that he's more well-rounded and has been around longer and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to take Verschio here, probably negative 175. And you know, I like him as long as he's somewhere in the neighborhood of that number.
All right. Before we hit the main event for you, I got to tell you about our new friends, AVO. We're proud to partner up with AVO, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically, betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. The AVO tool scans sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast, as speed is a big part of our arbitrage sports betting. The best part is AVO is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That's ARBSVSODDS, ARBSVSODDS.com. Check it out. All right, main event time. And it is for a championship. Go figure. This one is for, as I get my screen open here, CFFC Light Heavyweight Championship. Luke Fernandez, the current champion, against Will Dickey. We'll say Dickey. 5'5" in rounds, 205 pounds. Dickey is the franchise, 19-7, 12 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. This is his CFFC debut. He's won 6 straight fights, all via finish. April 2014 was his last loss, so he's on quite a run here. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. Get Sticky. Used to fight at heavyweight, 2009 pro MMA debut. Fernandez, 3-0 with 3 knockouts. All those fights are in CFFC, and he is the champion. He won his belt in his last bout. Lost the belt in his last bout. 1-0 as a pro grappler, 10 years younger than Dickey.
Yeah, so you mentioned it's been a while since Dickey lost. I will say that's because, like, he's fighting low level light heavyweights on the regional scene. And actually, I think a heavyweight or two in there too. He's not fighting very high level competition. I think he's going to be a negative 400 favorite in here. CFFC seems to love them some Luke Fernandez, and for good reason too. Like, he's an exciting prospect for a number of reasons. Like, I have a little bit of trouble with him getting stuck against the cage. Like, he gets held against the cage a little bit more than I would like him to, but he's got good jabs and his combinations come together when he moves forward and all those kinds of things. And I don't think he's going to have any problems with Will Dickey, because I don't think Dickey is the type of guy who even wants to be in the clinch with you. And he also does this thing where when he strikes, his head kind of leans forward and his hands don't immediately come back to his chin. He's just basically begging for you to hit him with a counter hook. And Luke Fernandez is totally the type of guy who's just going to step into one of those, or maybe even just step in with an elbow and just put him asleep. I think that this is like real clear and obvious matchmaking. Like, Luke Fernandez almost ready for that next level. Would not be surprised to see him win this one more, see him on Contender Series in the fall. And Dickey, on the other hand, is like, you know, a guy with a ton of fights under his record, so that when you look at Luke Fernandez's record, you say, oh, you know, he's 4-0, but he's fought nobody. You can at least say, oh, look, this Dickey guy, pretty decent looking record. So I think this is kind of a cherry picked one. It's a guy who, you know, leans forward with his chin out too much against a guy with big KO power, and like a willingness to just step in and hit him with one.
All right, there you go. All right, before we hit the lightning round, here are Gumby's main card picks here. He's got Fernandez retaining. He's got Verchiel becoming a new champ. He has Delamay becoming a new champ. Velasco retaining. And Nedrigjoni as hopefully a pick'em or maybe even a dog to kick things off. All right. So this is, how many fights are on this card? 13.
Too many. We gave you,
yeah, 13. That's why we don't do every fight, people. Regional ones too, because we have 1-0 people and 0-0 people fighting each other.
Wait, I do have else? A lightning round pick for an 0-0 fight versus 0-0.
All right. Well, yeah. Let us know. What else are you interested in of the other 8 fights on this card?
So I actually only have 2 others that I have like confident leans on. Maybe I'll do a little bit more digging, and if you hang out in the Discord, maybe I can get you a couple other ones as we get closer to fight time. But there's only really 2 that when I looked at them, I was like, yeah, those are ones I know right away. I think his name is Thomas Picciano. Thomas Picciano. He's fighting Jartavis Jackson, which, by the way, also a sick name, Jartavis Jackson. Yep. I think Jartavis Jackson is going to come in there probably as a pretty big favorite. He's 2-0. People have been very excited about his boxing because he comes from a pro boxing background. But Picciano is got some really sharp wrestling and some pretty good head movement in terms of defensive wrestling, or in defensive striking, rather. I think he's going to come in as a big dog, and I think that's like a nice sleeper spot as far as the prelims are concerned. So if you're looking for like a guy in the prelims, and you're like, oh, you know, I need a place to throw $5, that's not the worst place. The other one, and I'm going to slaughter this dude's name, and I apologize ahead of time, Georgi Kvishervili. It's a Georgian dude, you know.
Yeah,
as they are. He fights out of K Dojo. I don't know what the odds are going to be on this fight because it's a pair of 0-0 guys, and if you look at their amateur records, Kvishervili was 4-0 as an amateur, and he's going to be fighting Mark Kuriel. Kuriel was 5-1, so they were kind of the same. One fights out of K Dojo, that's Kervishvili, and Kuriel fights out of Ray Longo's gym. So, like, both of them come from respectable gyms. Both of them come from big amateur backgrounds. They're both making their pro debut against each other. The big difference for me in this fight is while the Georgian Kervishvili, while he's a little bit slower on the feet than Kuriel is, he's a lot bigger. Or at least he feels a lot bigger when you're watching him. He's got big, pick you up, slam you on your head kind of takedowns, as you would kind of expect from a 265-pound debuting Georgian. But also, like, while he's a little bit slower on the feet, he hits really hard. Like, I watched one of his amateur knockouts, and you could see the punch coming from a mile away, and it didn't matter because he just, like, executed the guy with it. And Kuriel is, I don't know, like, as far as his stature goes, like, it feels like he's a guy who's probably trying to make 205 at some point in time in his career and maybe just hasn't done so yet. And maybe that was just the fight I watched of him in his amateur fight, because I already knew I liked Kvishervili, and I was like, well, better make sure I'm not like stepping in one here and picking against a hyper prospect. But there's a good chance that Kirill still comes in here as a favorite because people love betting the Longo side. And I think this is a bad matchup for him. So I'm going to take for my two lightning picks here, Picciano over Jartavis Jackson and Georgi Kurvichishvili over Mike Kirill.
Is there anyone on this card that you definitely see in the UFC in the future?
Yeah, I think, if I'm being completely honest, I've always kind of thought that Vilsen Negrojoni would make it to the UFC at some point in time. Like, he's always struck me as a guy who's got, like, a lot of tools and is kind of fun. When I was watching Robert Verricchio, I wouldn't be super surprised if Robert Verricchio winds up there someday or at least in a contender series fight. Luke Fernandez, I think they're grooming to be in the UFC someday. So he wouldn't be super surprising. I'll also just say, like, if Negrojoni does not beat Mark Gray, which I really do think he's going to. Mark Gray has got a good trajectory because you pretty much don't beat Negrojoni unless you're on the way to UFC yourself.
Yeah. And Velasco already had a shot and lost.
Yeah. Right? And again, I think there's just like big gaps in what he does. You know, like he's a short heavyweight and hasn't rounded out his striking yet.
The UFC doesn't care. He's a heavyweight. That's the key.
No, but they like big meaty heavyweights.
That's true.
They like give me somebody Volker Walker's size, 6'6", 265.
Oh, what a fighter. What a fighter that man is, Volker Walker. All right, that's enough for us. We're going to be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going anywhere. UFC 300, maybe you've heard of it. That's happening this weekend. So we've got our back-to-back UFC 300 episodes coming up for you Wednesday and Thursday. And then we'll take Friday, Saturday off, watch some fights, process everything. And we'll be back again in your ear holes and eye holes on Sunday. Sound good? Good. In the meantime, we shall be in the Discord chatting, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. I'm the same on Instagram. I have a Substack. You can get in and enter my pick'em contest for free for UFC 300. That would be moneymma.substack.com. Gumby has the Top Turtle MMA podcast, UFC 300 edition this week, right? Who's on it?
Raquel Pennington and Jim Miller. So
one UFC 300. Yes. A stack show, a champion, and a UFC 300 participant. What else? YouTube, obviously. Subscribe, even if you don't want to watch us there. If you help us get our subscriber numbers up, that would help us greatly. And of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place to be. And that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store to get all our swags. So you can look like Gumby and myself. Podcast.com/Patreon. Help us crush corporate gambling. We'll be back tomorrow. Berserk Jeff Fox and Chopper Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk UFC 300. Bye-bye.